Endeavour returns to space. Regions Air fights back. And airlines want to pull the feds into their 9/11 battle. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 9th, 2007. The Space Shuttle Endeavour has her wings again, for the first time in over 4.5 years. Launch occurred right on schedule, following a near-flawless countdown Wednesday evening. The only problem that cropped up was an issue with one of the air pressurization sensors on the orbiter's hatch. That indicated low, however, all others gave proper indications, and NASA was able to quickly determine the shuttle was, in fact, sealed airtight. Endeavour is headed for the International Space Station, on a mission scheduled to last at least 11 days. Regions Air, grounded by the FAA in March over what the agency called discrepancies in the airline's training procedures, is striking back. This week, the airline sued several government agencies and Senator Dick Durbin, asking to be reinstated, and for more than $11 million in damages. As ANN reported, the FAA first grounded Regions Air over a dispute regarding wording in the company's training manual. 3 days after the airline resumed operations, the FAA shut it down again, this time saying a number of line-check airmen were not properly trained. The Decatur, Illinois Herald Review reports that the lawsuit claims the FAA pressured the airline's president into signing an agreement to suspend operations without the time to consult legal counsel, and threatened to blackball some Regions Air workers within the industry. Regions Air says even after it brought its operations back into compliance, the FAA deliberately delayed recertifying the airline. The suit also alleges that Senator Durbin used his influence to shut down the carrier. No one from the FAA or the senator's office has commented. Airlines facing lawsuits connected with the September 11th attacks were in court Tuesday to force FBI and CIA agents to testify on matters they believe will show the federal government is culpable for not preventing the attacks. 7 U.S. airlines face lawsuits for personal injury and wrongful death. Reuters reports the airlines say they need the agents' testimony to prove their actions were reasonable. Quote, "The inability of the federal agencies to detect and stop the plot is a more significant causal circumstance of the terrorist attacks than any allegedly negligent conduct of the aviation parties," unquote. The airlines claim that neither agency warned them that 2 of the September 11th hijackers were potential threats. Both agencies declined to comment on the litigation. Local law enforcement agencies are being encouraged by a Florida police chief to step up pressure on the FAA to approve their use of small, unmanned aircraft. In a speech to the Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International's annual conference on Tuesday, Holly Hill Public Safety Director Donald Shinneman says the agency is stonewalling police and fire departments who want to use the UAVs. But Dow Jones quotes FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown as responding that the caution is warranted, citing the need to ensure that UAVs are safe, reliable, and won't interfere with other aircraft. She said a recent Oregon rescue effort demonstrated the risks. Quote, "In a recent search for missing hikers on Mount Hood, conditions were extreme, and 11 out of 11 of the UAV flights that they attempted to launch crashed," unquote. Military officials say UAVs have been useful in Iraq and Afghanistan, but have also suffered mid-air collisions and interfered with each other's data broadcasts. Shinneman, who leads an aviation committee for the International Association of Chiefs of Police, says those problems are not likely in local law enforcement use. Shinneman is going as far as questioning the FAA's jurisdiction in his attempt to break what he sees as a bureaucratic logjam. Up next on ANN, 2 airport board members settle an ethics complaint. AOPA gets thousands to write to Delta Airlines. And a power outage makes a mess of Mitchell in Milwaukee. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3000. 3220.
Hi, this is Tom Gresham. I'm the host of Wings to Adventure TV. Now, you may love airplanes, but let me tell you, you've never seen anything till you've seen them in high definition. We're shooting the whole thing in native, real 1080i high def, and it is cool. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if it's a Cessna 180 or the hottest glass panel composite plane, it's all there on Wings to Adventure. Now, it's on the Outdoor Channel, so if you don't get it on your local system, be sure to let them know you want to see this. Go to wingstoadventure.com. You can see what our lineup is. We hope to see you there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 9th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Two members of the West Virginia Regional Airport Authority in Berkeley County have been ordered by the West Virginia Ethics Commission to abstain on votes which appear to pose a conflict of interest with their financial interest in Centra Bank in Martinsburg. Stephen Cox and Robert McMillan were the targets of a citizen complaint after they participated in a vote on matters regarding the airport's fixed-base operator, Arcadia Aviation, which has an outstanding $2.6 million loan from Centra Bank. The Herald Mail reports that in agreeing to the settlement of the ethics complaint, both men maintain their denial that they violated any state ethics laws, noting that each owns less than a 10% stake in the bank. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association says more than 3,000 of Delta Airlines' best customers have responded to a recent AOPA suggestion to contact Delta about misleading user fee advertising. As ANN reported, last week, Delta sent a mass email to its customers, blaming airline delays on general aviation and the current FAA funding system. AOPA promptly responded, stating, quote, "Most airline delays are due to the airline's own scheduling practices and weather," unquote, then invited its members to share their opinions with Delta management and copy AOPA on their comments. One Arkansas pilot wrote, quote, "The scheduled carrier's own hub-and-spoke route system is the rotten apple in this barrel. When you and your Air Transport Association colleagues insist on figuratively cramming 16 lanes of traffic into a four-lane road two or three times a day, what do you expect will happen?" Unquote. A retired 747 captain wrote, quote, "General aviation aircraft operating at airports served by airlines, especially those served by your airline, are almost never the cause of any delays, and you should know that. Ask your own pilots what the causes are," unquote. A Kentucky pilot wrote, quote, "As a Delta SkyMiles member, a business traveler, and a general aviation pilot, I take offense at your use of my SkyMiles email account to push half-truths and misrepresentations about aviation funding and traffic delays. My use of general aviation for business and pleasure actually allows me to bypass the very airports that Delta serves, so I absolutely do not add to traffic delays or congestion for the airlines," unquote. Many pilots told Delta they support the next-gen air traffic modernization program and are willing to pay for it. AOPA is urging members to contact federal lawmakers to support House Resolution 2881. That's the version of FAA reauthorization which does not include user fees. An electrical failure following a small fire Tuesday at General Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee closed terminal stores, forced hand screening of passenger bags, and delayed an unknown number of flights. The New York Times reports a contractor had been working in an underground utility tunnel, but the specific cause of the fire was not known. The airport is the base for Midwest Airlines, which serves over 50 cities. With jetways inoperable, passengers reached their flights by climbing good old-fashioned stairs on wheels, pulled into place by ramp workers. We'd love to tell you how many flights were delayed, but, of course, all the airport's flight information terminals went down, too. The lights reportedly came back on about 6 p.m. on Tuesday. The FAA has played hardball with its unions and believes its tactics, which limit its employees' negotiating clout, are legal, but not everyone agrees. The Professional Airways System Specialists, AFL-CIO, decided in 2006 that the FAA was not going to negotiate beyond its offer of the time. So it told the agency its members would be asked to vote on the offer, but that union leadership would not recommend ratification. The result was a rejection of the offer by a margin of 98-2. The FAA cried foul and filed an unfair labor practices complaint with the Federal Labor Relations Authority's regional director. The FAA lost, but appealed. Now, FLRA's general counsel has ruled that the union's tactic was fair. Union leaders say they look forward to resuming negotiations with the agency. PASS represents more than 11,000 FAA employees whose duties include installing, maintaining, supporting, and certifying air traffic control and national defense equipment. Still ahead, EAA announces the winner of its auction for a Cirrus SRS. Rebels in Darfur claim they've downed a government MiG-29. And Homeland Security tests a futuristic weapon. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avadyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 9th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. When Cirrus Design announced its new SRS light sport model at Oshkosh, it chose a novel promotion to launch the aircraft, an auction of serial number one to benefit the EAA's Young Eagles program, which provides introductory flights to young people. We now know who won that auction. Sporty's Pilot Shop founder and chairman Hal Shevers placed the winning bid of $170,000. Cirrus says the SRS will feature a top speed of 120 knots, a glass panel, and the Cirrus airframe parachute system, and will feature Rotax 912 power. Since its inception in 1992, EAA's Young Eagles program has provided flights in general aviation aircraft to over 1.3 million youth between the ages of 8 and 17. Sporty's will take delivery of the airplane at AirVenture 2008. Reuters reports receiving a phone call from rebel commanders in Sudan's Darfur region on Wednesday, claiming they shot down a government MiG-29 that was bombing civilian villages there. The rebels claim to have recovered the wreckage, but not the pilot. Neither the United Nations nor the African Union, which is monitoring a ceasefire in western Sudan, could confirm the report, and Sudanese army sources did not confirm the claim. The rebels have succeeded in shooting down government planes and helicopters over the more than 4 years of the conflict. If rebel claims of bombing are true, the government would be guilty of violating UN Security Council resolutions. And finally, USA Today reports the Homeland Security Department is planning to arm federal agents with a lightsaber weapon. Unlike its Star Wars namesake, which allowed bloodless amputation of an opponent's limbs, this weapon emits a dazzling strobe that can disable an opponent with temporary blindness, vertigo, or nausea. The weapon's real name is the LED Incapacitator, and Homeland Security says it could safely subdue criminals, terrorists, and even unruly airline passengers without injuring bystanders. It's being developed by Intelligent Optical Systems of Torrance, California, and will be tested at Pennsylvania State University this fall. Immigration and human rights groups say they're concerned that the LED incapacitator will be used on illegal immigrants. The Red Cross is concerned they'll fall into criminal hands. I'm concerned the Penn State Nittany Lions will use it against Notre Dame September 8th. Well, okay, I made that last one up. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with AOPA Executive VP Andy Cibula about Marion Blakey's interview on public television and about the significance of the recent reduction in the Washington, D.C. Air Defense Identification Zone. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.